There is a section in old Boston town where gas lanterns still adorn the streets to remind us of a bygone era of the old lamplighter, a profession that has become obsolete with our modern age. But the service of bringing light to a troubled world must never end. Let us examine some of the histories of those who were not afraid to be lamplighters to a troubled world and give light for the benefit of mankind. The first few pages of the Book of Mormon records an exciting story of a family that lived in an environment where wickedness abounded to such an extent that the Lord sent his prophets to warn the people that they must repent or face destruction. Troubled with this admonition, the father of a family inquires of the Lord concerning the course he should follow to safeguard his family from the prophesied destruction. He was instructed to take his family and leave the city. The scriptures record, "And it came to pass that he departed into the wilderness, and he left his house and the land of his inheritance and his gold and his silver and his precious things, and took nothing with him, save it were his family, provisions, and tents." And so they were instructed to leave with just the bare essentials of food, clothing, and tents for shelter. All other worldly accumulations were considered non-essentials and were left behind. That is, save one, for they had not traveled far until the Lord instructed them to return after that one essential that was left behind. It is interesting to note what the Lord considered that essential to be. He instructed them to return for the record of their people and also the genealogy of their forefathers. This was not an easy task, for they'd been asked to return to an unfriendly city to ask for a favor. The father made the request of his sons to undertake this dangerous assignment. His two older sons murmured at such a difficult requirement, but the third son recognized it to be inspired of the Lord and makes this declaration: "I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded, for I know the Lord giveth no commandment unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the thing which he commandeth them." Their first approach on this dangerous mission was to reason with Laban, the keeper of the record. This brought a response from him: "Behold, thou art a robber, and I will slay thee." And they were forced to flee for their lives. The second approach was to go to their former home and gather up all of the riches they had left behind and attempt to purchase the record. This approach also failed, because Laban recognized that he could have both, and he took their riches from them and drove them away. After much internal strife and contention, Nephi, the third eldest son, decides to put his complete trust in the Lord, and under the cover of night, seeks for the record. There Laban is delivered into his hands in a drunken state, and the Lord teaches Nephi a great lesson about the value of history. He declared to him, "It is better that one man perish than a whole nation should dwindle and perish in unbelief." Frightening results occur to a nation if it does not preserve and safeguard its sacred history. Nephi must have realized that this sacred history would serve as a lamp to light and give direction to future generations. Certainly he was a lamplighter and willing to carry the torch to establish a new nation. There comes a time when commemorations and anniversaries of historical events give special significance and highlight the great heritage which has been given to us. In 1976, the United States of America will celebrate its 200th birthday, a time to pause and reflect on that which has been bestowed on us. I marvel at the courage and faith of our early leaders. Among them were many lamplighters who could carry the torch of freedom. Ben Franklin was one of these. He was born in Boston in 1706, the 15th child and the youngest son in a family of 17. His parents were hardworking and God-fearing folk. His father made soap and candles in a little shop on Milk Street. Ben was permitted to only attend school for 2 years when his father found it necessary to take him into the business. And Ben spent the next 2 years making candles. But he became restless and wanted to try something else. His older brother gave him the opportunity of learning a printing trade. His brother was a good teacher, and Ben was a good student. But he was not content to be just a printer. He started to ride under an assumed name of Silence Duguid. He would write an article, slip it under the door as he would leave at night, and then his brother would find it on the following morning, and was so impressed with many of the writings that he printed them in his publication. That is, until he found his younger brother was the author. And that ended the writings of Silence Duguid. At 17, Ben left home and moved to Philadelphia and soon had a job with a printing firm. At the age of 24, he owned his own newspaper, which soon became the most noted in the colonies. Franklin had a simple formula for business success. He believed that a successful man had to work a little harder than his competitors. Ben Franklin never actually sought public office, although he was keenly interested in public affairs, which led him to civic service. He found the postal service to be poor, so he made several suggestions, which led to his appointment as the postmaster. He established the first subscription library. When fire losses were high, he reorganized the fire department. He reformed the city police when he found the criminals were getting away without punishment. The people of Philadelphia shamefully neglected the sick and insane, and he raised money for a city hospital. He organized the scientists into the first American Philosophical Society to bring them together. The city had no school of higher learning, so he helped them form an academy, which later became the University of Pennsylvania. As the result of these projects and others, Philadelphia became the most advanced city in the 13 colonies, and Pennsylvania was one of those leading colonies. What happened to the 13 colonies literally affected free men throughout the world. One man touched a city. One city touched a nation, a state. One state touched a nation. And one nation touched the world. This was the man who said he wanted to come back in 200 years to see if Americans still valued their freedom. I wonder what his reaction would be if he were allowed that privilege. I believe his scientific mind would be excited with our growth and progress. But I believe his civic pride would be wounded and hurt if he witnessed how content we are to fulfill the role of spectator rather than players on the field of making our contribution for the betterment of mankind. But I am certain that Franklin's hurt feelings would not last long. He would see the opportunities around him in the world today, and off would come his coat, and up would go his sleeves, and he would be at the job of creating something better. What a lamplighter for us to set as our example. There is a familiar hymn I would like you to adopt as a theme song for the next 3 years as we prepare for our year of celebration. I would like you to sing it each morning as you arise and lift your hearts and the spirits of your family. Whistle it as you go down the street, as you make your way to work, to remind you that the path you take today will be a cleaner, happier place because you pass that way. Hum it in your shops and in your offices to encourage all around you to make a greater contribution. Meditate on it as you retire and kneel in prayer of thanksgiving for the opportunities you have had that day to make the world a better place. Have I done any good in the world today? Have I helped anyone in need? Have I cheered up the sad and made someone feel glad? If not, I have failed indeed. Has anyone's burden been lighter today because I was willing to share? Have the sick and the weary been helped on their way? When they needed my help, was I there? Then wake up and do something more than dream of your mansions above. Doing good is a pleasure, a joy beyond measure, a blessing of duty and love. Let us sound the call today to revive the old profession of the lamplighter. Let us each pick up our torch and illuminate those sacred histories and the eternal truths that divine providence has bestowed on us. Let us have the faith and courage of a Nephi. Roll up our sleeves like a Ben Franklin, and go and do that which the Lord hath commanded. May we be prepared and be ready to celebrate with pride and thanksgiving our 200th anniversary with the comforting knowledge that we have made a worthy contribution to safeguard and protect those divinely inspired principles upon which this nation was established. I humbly pray and give you my witness that this is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.